Three crosses stood on Calvary's hill. It was crucifixion day. The time had come to pay sin's debt, and death was the only way. A hammer and a soldier's wing beat out redemption's sounds, and from the hands that healed the sick, the blood came streaming down. From precious veins, the sinner's chains were broken by the blood. The rusty nails shook the gates of hell and started a crimson flood. To one and all who would heed the call, there waited liberty. And the truth remains and will never change. His blood still sets men free. There is no cross on Golgotha like there was when Jesus died. And the crowd has passed away that stood and watched him crucified. 2,000 years have come and gone since that day on Calvary. But the blood that flowed from God's own Son is still setting sinners free. From precious veins, the sinner's chains were broken by the blood. And rusty nails shook the gates of hell and started a crimson flood. To one and all who would heed the call, their waited liberty. And the truth remains and will never change. His blood still sets men free. From precious veins, the sinner's chains were broken by the blood. The rusty nails shook the gates of hell and started a crimson flood. To one and all who would heed the call, their waited liberty. And the truth remains and will never change. His blood still sets men free. And the truth remains and will never change. His blood still sets men free.
Oh, God's people said, amen. Thank you so much, my dear brother. My, my, my. You know, it's such a joy to see all the young men that Brother Terry has been able to gather around him and to serve the Lord with him in your good Bible preaching church. Such a joy to see their talents and their abilities. And, of course, Caleb, he used to be just a little guy when he would come up to Rosemont and visit with his mom and daddy back in, wow, that was back in the 70s. And he's probably got some gray hair that he's coloring or something, you know. But, had an opportunity to visit with Brother Luke and his wife at the dinner table yesterday with the preacher. And he's still coming home to eat mama's cooking. And when I mentioned that, his wife said, "Yeah, that's right." But what a joy and what a blessing to be here. You had a good day today? Man, I'll tell you what, folks, that wind. I didn't have to open the door today. All I had to do is just kind of look at it and judge it a little bit, and the wind did the rest of it. But it was really blowing out there. We had more snow in Minnesota, and I'm so thankful for Florida. It's a blessing. I was going to call the office today and ask my secretary how things were going, but I thought, well, I won't do that to her. Young lady that's been there now came right out of college in 1977, 22 years old, came as a receptionist. And 3 years later, my secretary was seriously injured in an automobile accident. A drunken driver rear-ended her as she was stopped pulling into her driveway, and the police estimated he was probably going about 40 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour speed zone. No skid marks at all, and he just plowed right into the back of her, and she's never worked another day since. Went back to Michigan, where her family lives, and she's been living with her mother and dad, the last I heard. But Pauline was on the staff then for about 3 years, and I approached her on coming back and to my office to take Joan's place, and she came back fear and trembling, and has been there now since 1980 as my secretary. About 10, 12 years ago, she had dated different men and so forth, but about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I guess it was, it'd be more than that. Yeah, because she was there every 10 years. It'd be about 12, 14, 15, 16 years ago. Well, like I said, when you've been personal friends with Lincoln, you got to be, you know. But she came and sat down in my office one day, and she said, "Preacher," she said, "I just believe that God has given me peace, that he just wants me to spend the rest of my life here, taking care of you and whatever else you have for me to do." And so when I became pastor emeritus, Pastor Clear's secretary had just recently passed away with cancer, 48 years old. And I approached Pauline, since I wasn't going to be able to keep her that busy. I approached her, and so now she's secretary to Pastor Dave and the old man. Her screen name is Pastor Incognito, and I gave her that name. There is nobody in First Baptist Church of Rosemont that knows more about that church than she does, and that includes me. But take your Bibles tonight, if you will. It's a joy to be here, and I praise the Lord for that supper tonight. I had to really discipline myself, and that pumpkin pie with that big old blob of whatever it was, whipped cream, I think. I was really tempted, but I said to the devil, "Get thee behind me." Now, the preacher didn't. He's telling me he's got to lose weight. What he's got to start doing is telling it to himself. I love you, Brother Terry. You know, I've met hundreds and hundreds of preachers. And I used to see Brother Terry at Oklahoma, OBC, at the missions conference because you and Brother Woodward used to come sometimes back years ago. But I'd never preached with them until a couple of years ago in Jasonville, Indiana. And you were there with me and Brother Ross's ministry. That's an amazing church. Incredible church. I mean, Jasonville, you go in a Greyhound bus, the front is out before the back is in. This dear young man is pastoring a church. His daddy pastored it for several years, and then he replaced his dad became pastor emeritus. Now, his daddy just went to be with the Lord here about a year or so ago, I guess. A couple of years maybe it's been now. He is running anywhere between 325 to 375 people a Sunday. And he pastors the whole county, Greene County. He's got people coming from all over that county. And just doing a marvelous, marvelous work. He married one of our young ladies from Rosemont. That's how I married Brother Jerry and Cheryl. And they're quite the couple. But I just really had a wonderful time with Brother Terry at that church. And we had a good meeting. We were there Monday and Tuesday, if I remember right. And I think you drove home to be back here for Wednesday night. I think that was right. I go there. I start there on Sunday. And then I preach through Wednesday. And I do that meeting on the way back to Minnesota. And then that way, we'll just drive the car on back. That's when Ellie gives me permission to go back. And the first time we were down at the Florida house, I talked her into going back in March. And we had three major snowstorms. Before the snow quit up there. And so I spent a month sleeping on the couch. And not really, but she wasn't a happy camper. I said to her... After a little while, I said, "Well, that wasn't too bad. Maybe we can do that. And maybe we can do that next year." And she said, "In your dreams." But take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 11. Faith promise missions. I said this to the preacher a little while ago. One of the main ingredients of faith promise mission conferences has to be prayer. You've got to understand how important prayer is when it comes to reaching the lost. If we would spend more time praying in our ministries, it probably would be one of the wisest things we could do in the day and age in which we're living. I have really become discouraged with some ministries who have taken their prayer meeting, Wednesday night prayer meeting, and they've turned it into everything under the sun other than a prayer meeting, other than praying. Now, I'm not opposed to other ministries in a church, but I am persuaded that prayer is such an important part of our ministry, of what we are seeking to do, that we cannot continue to diminish the importance of prayer and continue to see God bless and guide and direct us in the days present and future as we have seen them in days past. See, the Bible is very clear. Asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be opened unto you. It's not he might do it, he says he will do it. But he does it on the basis of our asking. So it's very important that we understand that. Very vital, very important. Then we also, though, have to have the understanding that when you're talking about faith promise missions, well, you've got that word faith in there, F-A-I-T-H. The acronym sometimes that we use is forsaking all, I trust him. And that's basically an elementary understanding of the word faith, but it is, I believe, applicable when it comes to faith mission conferences. Because we don't make our commitment to next year's, missionary program at Faith Baptist Church in this conference based on, what we were able to give last year. We're going to God and asking him, what do you want us to give this year? Say. And Ellie and I, we always made it a practice that we would ask him to help us to have faith to increase what we gave last year. Now, sometimes, And incidentally, today, our Faith Promise Mission giving is sometimes, it's more than our tithe. It's more than our tithe. Because we've been participating in Faith Promise Missions now for 20 years. And except for 3 years of that 20, we were able to increase our Faith Promise Mission giving every year. Now, sometimes it wasn't a lot. Maybe 2%. Maybe it was, you know, I don't think we ever did 1%. I think 1 year we did 1.5%. But it was increasing. It was always seeking to increase it. And that was because we were walking by faith. And we found, and I found this in my life again and again and again, the more that you trust God, the more He begins to trust you. And sometimes when you put it down figuratively or put it down, you know, mathematically, it doesn't compute. It just doesn't. But it's sort of like when I first got saved and sis told me, you know, that I was going to be a tither. I told you that on Sunday. And she told me, you know, well, you're not going to be a good Christian. And so that, you know, I got steaming about that. And that was one of my real struggles. That I had a short fuse when I was young, and a ball player, and I really had to restrain myself, discipline myself, because to get kicked out of a ball game because I was in an umpire's face was not going to sit well with coaches, and. So I learned the hard way about that. But anyhow, she really got after me about that tithing, and so we started doing really more than what we probably should have. But I was finding out that as I would trust God, he would trust me. And when I surrendered to the ministry, you know, in that Bible conference, missions conference in First Baptist Church of Westwood Lake in February 1960, and announced to my mom and dad, you know, that I'm going to be leaving Southern Bell Telephone Company, and we're going to be selling our home, and we're going to be going to Chattanooga, Tennessee. You know, my dad, he said, you can't do that. You're married. You got a family. How are you going to live? And I said, we're, you know, I can get a job. I can go to school. You know, I'm not going to be the only guy doing that. But the thing about it is when we left Miami, and we had sold our home. We paid off all our debts. We had $700 in savings when we drove out of Miami heading for Chattanooga, Tennessee. Now, $700, you got to remember back in 1970 when you were paying about 30 cents a gallon for gas and you paid about 25 cents for a loaf of bread and so forth and so on. That was a little bit more than what, you know, $700 would compute to today. But when I drove out of Miami heading for Chattanooga and got there, we had $700, and we found a house to rent, $30 a month. How do you like those apples? Now, the house was old. It wasn't a brand new home, but it was an old house, but it was comfortable. It was a lot warmer than the one we found when we got to Minnesota, that's for sure. And they had hardwood floors, and my son Rick, when we got there, he was two and a half years old, and he could take his little cars and go in the living room and put the car on this wall and let the car go, and it rolled all the way down to the other wall, and he just thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I went through college, and then God says, I want you to go through seminary. So I go through seminary. So I get my bachelor's degree. I get my master's degree. And we're heading now out to go another 1,000 miles to Minnesota to Rosemont, and I've completed what I've gone there to do, and we're driving out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. We don't owe any bills. All of our bills are paid. We were tithers. We were givers to Faith Promise Missions during the time we were in school. And would you like to know how much money we had in our checking account? $700. Now, you say, how does that? I don't know how it happens, but bless God, I'm just going to enjoy it and keep doing it. It's a principle of faith. And what I want us to do tonight, I'm going to try and get you out of here better than I did last night. But God was with us last night, folks. I take no responsibility for last night. That was all God. And I learned a long time ago, be obedient to the leadership of the Spirit of God. Be obedient. Now, God, that message, I did not plan on preaching that message. I've preached it before. But I did not plan on. I was going to preach the mountain of God last night. But the circumstances, there was different things. The music, God was just at work. And thank God for that. We need more churches that see God do in their church what God did in your church last night. But I want us to look at Hebrews chapter number 11. A very familiar passage of Scripture. You've heard it. You've read it, I'm sure. You've probably heard many messages on it. But what I want us to do tonight, I want us to look at this subject of faith, because it's absolutely essential for you to be able to really sense what God wants you to do for the greatest work in the world, reaching the lost. There's nothing more important. That's why God sent His Son. Say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what missions is all about. It's taking that wonderful story of Christ to those dear souls in Argentina that we saw tonight, Brother Mel. Man, that little girl, that last picture, that just broke my heart. To look into that precious little face. And to just see the blankness there. I mean, no joy, no anything. And except for the grace of God, that could be any of us here tonight. We didn't choose where we were going to be born. Just amazing. So let's stand for the reading. I'm just going to read one verse. I usually read six, but I'm going to read one verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And then I just want to give you four simple truths tonight. This is not going to be a rocket science ministry. It's not going to be a rocket science message. First of all, because I don't understand rocket science. Are you ready? Let's read. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently, what's those last two words? Seek Him. Diligently seek Him. What you're doing with Faith Promise Missions, you are diligently seeking Him. God, what do you want me to do for this year, for this year's emphasis of Faith Promise Missions at Faith Baptist Church? Let's pray. Father, bless, I pray. A few thoughts I give to these dear blessed folks that I've come to know and love in these last few hours. And I pray you'd help me to be a blessing tonight. Lord, you know my heart. I do want to be a blessing. And Lord, we ask that you would take our mind, take God, our tongue. Help me, I pray, Father, tonight to do and to be all you want me to be. And God, to work in hearts and lives tonight as only you can work. And we'll give you the praise for what you will do, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When I first was saved, one of the first songs I kind of fell in love with that I liked. Matter of fact, there's a couple of them the song you sang tonight. I'm praying about a message tomorrow night. And that song, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. And that was one of the first songs I heard and learned at Bird Road Baptist Church when I got saved. But another song that I heard that really kind of just resonated with me somehow was the song, Have Faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on the throne. You know, I was visualizing in my mind, you know, that I was a brand new Christian. As I said, when I got saved, what I knew about the Bible, you could put it in a thimble and have room left over. And here's a song telling me that I need to have this faith in God because He's on His throne. And have faith in God. He watcheth o'er His own. And stop and think about that for a minute. God is watching over all of you dear folk. He's watching over you. You know, our children sing that song. Oh, be careful little, you know, ears what you hear. Oh, be careful little eyes what you see. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Why? Because we're telling the kids, God's watching over you. He sees you. He knows what's going on in your life. And then the next line was, He cannot fail. He will prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And that song really began to resonate with me to where, as I started to look at my Bible and read my Bible, I mean, all kind of truth began to open up in my thinking and in my life, and it began to impact my life. I mean, as I said to Pastor, you know, I never drank. Liquor has never touched these lips. I never smoked. I never had a cigarette in my mouth. But I was a lost sinner. I was on my way to hell. I was a ball player, and I knew that stuff wasn't going to help me, you know, advance in my ball playing career. But all of a sudden, as I began to hear those songs, and I began to read my Bible, and I began to see about this thing of this God. Who is a God that I need to have faith in because He's on His throne, and I need to have faith in Him because He's watching over me, He's leading me, He's guiding me, He's directing me. And I've got to remember that, hey, I'm on the winning team. He cannot fail. He will prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And one of the great questions I think in our world in which we're facing today is, you know, are we letting what is taking place in our society, are we letting it cripple our faith in God? Are we letting the economy, are we letting the news media, are we letting, you know, all of the circumstances that we're experiencing, you know, in our world, are we allowing that to cripple how we're viewing our relationship with God on the basis of what the Word of God says? We need to see people that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For him who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was our 32nd president of the United States during a very, very critical time in our nation, because our nation had been in the throes of depression. Unemployment was just absolutely rocketing. And there were lines and lines and lines of unemployed people. Matter of fact, the WPA, Workers Public Administration, it was an organization that he developed and put into our government, where they started building various different government projects that was to put people to work. And like I told you the other day, I think it was you all I told, maybe it wasn't, but I took that little acronym WPA and I changed it since Ellie broke her shoulder, and I brought her home from the rehab center. She was in the hospital for 5 days, and I had them take her to a rehab center because she was just totally, her arm was in an immobilizer. She had her arm in an immobilizer for 30 days. And so I changed that worker's public administration to wife's personal assistant. And that's what I was. We won't go there today, but that's what I was. But we are living in a very, very complex world. And many people I'm fearful, concentrating on the difficulties and concentrating on the problems rather than the responsibilities that the Word of God gives us and the opportunities that the Word of God gives us. See, God, in other words, is not dead. And old Franklin Delano Roosevelt said on a radio message that really resonated with the people of the United States of America when he said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. We cannot let that which is taking place around us deter us from believing and practicing what God gives us in this book. If we're going to be Christians, then we're going to be Christians. I mean, if what this book is telling us, we really don't believe down deep inside where we live as an individual, hey, beloved, we're trusting what this book says to take us to heaven for eternity. Now, if we really believe that, then we are going to obey what this book says. And that's going to be based upon our faith. And how important it is that we don't forget God in our daily walk in which we're walking in the world in which we're living today. I read this not too long ago, and I wrote it down because I thought, man, that is a tremendous statement. A gentleman by the name of W.F. Powell wrote this. And listen to what he said. When faith goes, man, the thinker, loses his greatest thought. Think about that. He went on and said, when faith in God goes, man, the worker, loses the problems of life as well as the possibilities of the future. When our faith goes, we need to be so sensitive to that. When you realize, and this is what just one individual is saying. If we fail to see what God wants us to see in this conference regarding faith promise missions, we will have failed as far as what the purpose of this conference is all about. We will simply fail. And there were so many other things he said. But what I want to give you tonight, I want to give you just four simple thoughts, and with this we'll go home. Because first of all, I want you to put this down as you look at your verse of Scripture here. Put down the words, faith in faith. Three words, faith in faith. Because I believe one must have faith in faith if we're going to walk the way of faith victoriously. Many of you here tonight could quote Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'm sure of it. Do you realize when you're quoting that verse of Scripture, what you are really doing is you are having faith in faith. Listen to the words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and finish it. He will what? Direct thy path. Now, how do you know that? How do you know that unless you've got faith? The only way I realize that, the only way I understand what that verse is, those two verses are saying, is on the basis of my faith to believe this book. That's how I come to realize that. And whether we like it or whether we don't like it, all of us are tempted to put our confidence in human wisdom sometimes and understanding. You know. We apply the scientific, we apply the logical method to, you know, the problem or to the difficulty or whatever it is that we're dealing with. That's what's wrong with our country today. That's what's wrong with our government. They are trying to solve people problems by leaving God out of the equation. And since God has created the people, they're never going to solve the problems. You know, it's not rocket science, like I say. If we could get our government to understand that in this book there is all kind of truth and all kind of programs that will help some of these dear people. But they want to take God out of the equation. Well, you and I, as a child of God, we better keep him in the equation, because without faith it's impossible to please him. So faith is very critical. It's vital. And there's so much more I believe we could look at here. But let me give you the second statement tonight. Because the second statement that I want you to put down is the words faith. Put down the word faith and faithfulness. Faith and faithfulness. See, real faith is more than just intellectual assent. It's more than that. It's more than an intellectual, you know, understanding. Genuine faith, victorious faith in living, is living for God. It's going to be always equated with, oh yes, there will be some intellectual assent. I understand that. But there's going to be a lot more involved. See, understand this, intellectual accent. Well, what did James say? What did James say in James chapter number 2 there, verse number 19? My Bible says that James said this, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil believes and trembles. So we must understand, faith produces faithfulness. What is it that took First Baptist Church of Rosemont, a little church of 20 people, to vote for me to go there was 17-3. Two of them that voted no left before I got there. So I started with 18 people. Now, what is it that took those 18 people, and today at First Baptist Church in Rosemont, with all of our properties and all of our buildings and our Christian school and all the rest of that which God has given us, what is it that brought that into existence? Faithfulness. But the faithfulness would have been of absolutely very little significance if it hadn't been produced by faith. Faith in God. I had Dr. Lee Robertson, when I was standing in the graduating line to go in to the auditorium to receive my master's degree from seminary, come up and put his arm around me and said in my ear, he says, Brother Ed, are you sure God is leading you to Minnesota? Now, I loved that man like a father. I mean, I respected him. He had taught me so much. He was one of my heroes. I've preached around the country, and I don't know how many times people have said to me, you sound just like Lee Robertson. But down deep inside where I live as an individual, I understood that God was taking me to Minnesota. But it was on the basis of my faith. But because of that faith, then it produced the faithfulness that allowed me to experience that first winter that I didn't believe anybody in the world experienced. On that Christmas morning of 1967, our first Christmas in Minnesota, and my little 28-month-old son is in an incubator in intensive care in Sanford Memorial Hospital with double pneumonia, and I'm standing there looking in this glass window at that little guy, lungs heaving up and down and up and down, and my wife is standing here crying, and my daughter Lori is standing here crying, and my daughter Sarah is standing here crying, and my son Rick is on the other side of his mom crying. And I looked at the heaven and I said, God, why did you call me to this frozen tundra? what helped me to stay in Rosemont, Minnesota was my faith. Because that is what was driving my faithfulness. I wouldn't have had the faithfulness if I didn't have the faith. And it's so vital we understand that. And you can go through your Bible. You can go through your Bible and see, I mean, illustration after illustration after illustration. Look at Noah. Look at Abraham. Look at Joseph. Look at Moses. I mean, the Bible is full of it. Number three, put it down very quickly. I want you to put down the words, the necessity of faith. The necessity of faith. Because all foundation of all spiritual progress is rooted in our faith. The foundation of all spiritual progress is going to be based on our faith. See, without the explanation for most of our failures can be found in the lack of our real faith in a living God. When we fail in that matter of faith, well, what is one of the main stories you'll find in the Old Testament in relationship to Israel? The undoing sin of Israel was their constant no faith or little faith. Man, when you're reading the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Bible, and especially when you're reading the scriptures that are dealing with those Jews when they're coming out of Egypt, and all of the times they are griping and complaining. Man, if I'd have been Moses, they wouldn't have made it a couple of weeks. I'd have killed every last one of them and just said, let's go, God, you and me. Matter of fact, when he wanted to kill them all, Moses pleaded for them. Man, if I'd have been Moses, I said, have at it, God, I'm with you. But that's what it was. It was their lack of faith. It was their lack of faith. It was their lack of faith that kept many of them out of the promised land. That's why that entire generation of 20 years and over never got in. Their lack of faith. That's why Aaron didn't get in. Hey, that's why Moses didn't get in. I mean, God said, speak. He took his rod and whacked the rock to produce the water. God said, I didn't tell you to take the rod. I told you to speak. He thought he could supplant what God was ordering. Disobeyed. Whatever you want to call it. But God says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Then the fourth thing I want you to put down tonight is the growth of faith. The growth of faith, because that's what this conference is really all about. To grow our faith. Faith in God. Like faith in a person is a dynamic thing, really, when you stop and you think about it. It's not static. It's not dormant. What does Romans 10:17 say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by reading the newspaper. No. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And faith has been described as basically containing just three elements. Knowledge, mental assent, and trust. That's your three aspects of faith. I mean, you've got to have knowledge. You've got to understand what you're reading. That's why little babies, when they die, go to heaven. They're in the care of God until they come of age to where they understand they're sinners, because you've got to have the knowledge to understand. And then there's got to be the mental aspect of it. They mentally have got to understand that. We have a young man in our ministry. His mother's been our organist for years and years, Charlie Soule. And Charlie is seriously, he's seriously handicapped. But it's amazing to watch him. He's in church every Sunday, every week of the month, and every month of the year. And he'll have the tendency to say amen at the wrong time in a business meeting. We'll have a vote and everybody will say amen. All in favor say amen. Amen all over the place. And then all opposed say amen. Charlie, amen. Well, he said amen to vote for it, and he said amen to oppose. He doesn't have the mental assent. But you ask him. You ask him, do you love God, Charlie? Can't talk too much. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. Because except for the grace of God, there goes I. I'm sure Charlie didn't choose that. But I believe God put Charlie in the life of First Baptist Church of Rosemont to speak to all of us and to be a blessing to many of us. And as you look at the scripture, and when you look at Christian history and you read about those, you know, the personal experiences of how God... Matter of fact, that little book you gave me, I started reading it this afternoon. I read a couple of chapters in it. Man alive, that is... I'm going to devour that thing. I'd never heard of that missionary. Never did. We don't know anything about it today, preacher. We don't. I mean, it you talk about mamby-pamby Christians. Those people, they were tough. They were... I like what he called them. They were spiritual commandos. I got a kick out of that. And some of you here today, I'm confident that some of you here today, you can look at your own lives and you can remember experiences like I gave out of my life today. You can look in your life as a child of God over the years where God did something that was, you know, unusual, sort of supernatural, if you want to call it that. And so, four simple things that I want you to see tonight. As you're praying, I trust about your faith promise. Because always remember this, people, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For him who comes to God must come by faith. Well, there's so much more that I could say, but I made up my mind that I was going to try and quit by 8:15. It's now 8:16. I've told the Lord so many times, God, one day you're going to let me do what I purpose in my heart and mind, I want to do. But when it comes to the Word of God, there's so much that's there that you want to give to the people. But let's bow our heads in prayer and let's ask God to, before we leave, to do what He needs to do in each one of our hearts today as we... thinking about our faith promise now. I mentioned this yesterday in Sunday school, I believe it was. The words of William Carey when he said, I will go down if you will hold the ropes. What a great picture that is. You have four godly missionaries here in the conference this year, and I've just enjoyed them so much. God's put them here on His timetable, and you're here because this is where God's put you. And I want you to remember those four simple statements I've given you tonight on faith. And ask God God, give me the faith that you want me to have. Because down deep inside, Lord, where I live as an individual, I do want to please you. You know my heart, and God knows the heart of every one of us in this auditorium tonight. You know my heart, Lord. And I do want to please you. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the time we can spend together in the Word of God tonight. And I do pray, Lord, that you would take these four simple truths, and God, you would help every one of us. Father, I pray you'd help me. Lord, keep me from coming to the place in life where I feel that I've arrived. Because, God, I realize and I know. I'm thankful that I'm not where I used to be, but God, I'm still pressing on to where I know I need to be. And I pray that as God will put these four simple principles that you gave to me to give to these dear folks in this conference, that God, we'd ask you to grow them and to burn them and to build them in our hearts and in our lives. And so as they pray about their faith promise, and God, as they trust you, I pray, Lord, as they'll place that amount that you lay on their heart, they'll know that it's an amount that, God, you gave them. And God, as you've given it to them, you'll give them the ability and you'll provide the way for them to do it. We love you tonight. We thank you for loving us, and we thank you for such a good day. We ask, Lord, as we spend a few moments now in invitation, that you'd have your will and your way in our hearts tonight. And we'll give you the praise. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Preacher's going to come. And let's let God do in our hearts tonight what he wants to do.
Let's leave missions for 2 minutes. With all that's going on in our world, what better thing to hear? Have faith in God. That stirs my heart. Just leave the confines of a missions conference and consider it as it applies to your whole life. Because if you keep your eyes, folks, if we keep our eyes only on this plane, on everything that's going on around us, we will not finish this race for God. We must keep our eyes on Him. There's nothing encouraging on this plane, is there? Anywhere you look. But man, when our eyes are fastened on Him that sits on that throne, high and lifted up, and before you mentioned it in the message, before you said, the people say, where you go to preach, Brother Johnson, that you remind them of Lee Robertson. I'm sitting there thinking, as I'm hearing you say, have faith in God, I can see the double-breasted, navy blue suit, the tall, white-haired man with a stiff back. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. I can hear it. I can hear it. And I hadn't been here very long, and we were in the old building, and Pollard Mercer called from Hiles Anderson College, and he said, Dr. Robertson is up here preaching, and he's not preaching on Wednesday night. Would you like for him to come? Some of you were in that service. And that was on a Monday. I didn't have time to tell the church. And he came and sat on the, got a Wednesday night service. It was us. And sitting on the platform, he said, Is this your crowd? Is there any visitors here? No, sir. Gotta build. Have faith in God. I can hear him say it. It was eerie. It was eerie tonight. Because it was, and folks, we're not, Brother Spencer, I so enjoyed your message this morning. Don't take it wrong. You're 28, 29. We're not listening to a 31-year-old man. You're listening to somebody born in 1932. Do you reckon he has seen anything catastrophic in 81 years? And he comes in, don't miss this. It's like a voice from the past with us in the present telling us about now and in the future. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Stirs my heart. About everything, not just missions. And then let's bring it back down to missions. If you remember the theme from last year's conference, increased faith equals enlarged outreach. And the outreach was enlarged last year because the faith promise giving went up. So let's pray. Let's pray. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Father, bless the invitation in our hearts tonight. May we reach out and grab this truth to have faith in you about everything, not only about faith promise giving, particularly that for these missionaries' sake, but Lord, about everything in our lives. And thank you for sending this man of this many years to our church to tell us, have faith in you. And take us, Lord, and move us tonight to grab it. My heart's stirred at what we heard. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Wouldn't you just come tonight and ask God, Lord, help me, please, to have faith in you. About everything. In my missions giving particular, but in my life, to have faith in you. As the ladies play, would you come tonight? Let the Lord speak to your heart. I can hear it, man. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Man, love.